Well, for those of you who are from Australia, most of you are aware that a new spaceport is under construction at Woomera, and that Kistler Aerospace are planning to launch K1 rockets, reusable rockets, from Woomera next year. The program is for the spaceport to be completed by about mid-year next year. It's a $76 million facility. The first test flights are programmed for next year, and the first commercial flight is programmed for next year. If I may introduce our guest of honour, Dr. Miller, in the middle, is the father of the space shuttle. He's very well known in the aerospace community for the incredible things that he's achieved in the past with responsibility for the Apollo manned space flight program for NASA, responsible for Gemini, Apollo and Saturn. During those programs, he had the Kennedy, Johnson and Marshall space flight centers all reporting to him. He was the originator of Skylab, the world's first space station, and acknowledged as the father of the space shuttle. On Dr. Miller's right, we have Dan Brandenstein, who is the executive first vice president of the K1 program. He's a K1 program manager, who's here also to speak at this Congress. He's been on 4 space shuttle missions and commanded 3, and is very well known in space circles. And on Dr. Miller's left is Dan Fagan, who is responsible for the launch facilities, the construction program of the launch facilities at Woomera. We also have a number of other Kistler experts here in the front row, and please feel free to speak with any of them after this short briefing. But if I could ask Dan if you'd please just update a little bit on the K1 program and Woomera and where we are. Thanks.
Okay, well, thank you for the introduction. We're very pleased to be here, and the Kistler program is going extremely well. It is the world's first totally reusable launch vehicle, and we will be delivering a low Earth orbit communication satellite to the, as were mentioned earlier. One of the things in the previous comment Dr. Deutsch made about space debris, our vehicle being totally reusable will not leave any debris. We will deliver the satellite and bring the orbital part of the vehicle back for reuse. The program is going very well. Dr. Miller and his design team started the original design in 1995, and by the middle of next year we will be flying our first mission, which is really quite remarkable for a space program to go from the first design to a flying vehicle in that short amount of time. We are in the process of building and testing various components of the vehicle. The major structural panels, it takes 23 of those to make the vehicle. We have 21 completed. We have started final assembly. We have 5 major tanks on the first vehicle. 3 of those are complete. The other 2 are in their final fabrication stage. We have the engines that we will be using are modified Russian NK-33 and NK-43 engines. We have had 6 very successful test flights with those. And with the reusable vehicle, the landing system consists of parachutes and airbags, and we have had extensive testing on all those. In fact, the test that is the grandest of our parachute tests so far, we had 6 of the parachute tests, 6 parachutes in 1 test. That'll be the parachutes that land the first stage, and it amounted to 3 soccer fields equivalent of parachute. There were 6 parachutes covering 2.6 acres, and that went very well. So we're very pleased with that. And as far as some of the key points of the program, Dr. Miller can address those, and then Don Fagan, who's our head of our operations here in Australia can go into some of the details of what's happening there.
Dr. Miller, perhaps you may care to start by the concept and how long you've actually been working on this particular program and where it fits in terms of the new generation of space vehicles that we can recover.
The program itself is moving along. I would say that we anticipate having our first commercial flights next year, and I think that, you know, when you look at what I have seen of other programs in the past, we've done a remarkably good job of moving rapidly into a position of flight testing. The progress here in Australia has been very, very pleasing to me. We've had very good cooperation from the government and all of the people that we're dealing with here. The Leighton contractor team is moving out to do their usual outstanding development work. And I think that if we can figure out how to get the vehicles delivered here in a reasonably economical fashion, we'll be in great shape to start flying. And Don here is the guy that has to make it all happen here. And so I'm depending on him to create that environment.
Don, perhaps you could just update us on where we are with Woomera at the moment.
Yes, we currently are. We had a groundbreaking ceremony at the site at the end of July. The Leighton contractors, as Dr. Miller mentioned, we're formalizing the contract with them this week as we speak to begin construction. We have obtained our environmental approval. We have obtained reached an agreement with the Aboriginal Titleist. We have a signed lease on the property, so we're free and clear to move on. We'll be able to. Okay. Is that a little better? There we go.
Okay.
So we have all of the things in place for us to begin construction, which we'll begin very shortly. Again, I'd like to reiterate what Dr. Miller said. Our association with both the Commonwealth and the South Australian government has been outstanding. They're great people to work with. We are in the process of the licensing process, which is the final process we have to go through in order to permit us to launch the vehicle. And that process is going very well also. So the site will be ready to go when the vehicle arrives, and we're looking forward to a great and long, successful program here.
Dr. Miller, if I could ask you, why did you choose the Woomera station to build this new space?
Woomera has a number of advantages from our point of view. For one, it has been a rocket launch site over these many years. So there is an infrastructure present there that is essential for supporting a launch activity. Also, the people there are used to having launches, and so it isn't a new and exciting thing for them. And it'll be new and exciting for us, but not for them, I think. The other area that is of great importance to us is the very large area of flat land around there, which permits us to land almost anywhere. And we're going to land quite precisely, but because of the drift of parachutes, we don't have complete control of where we actually touch down, and so we'll land within a circle of about 1,000 meters in diameter.
How excited are you about this whole project?
I'm sorry,
how excited is this whole project to you? I mean, you've seen so many developments.
The question, Dr. Miller, how excited are you about this project, having been involved in so many others?
Well, I'm very excited. I'll be even more excited when that first launch takes place and it comes back in one piece. First launches are always a challenge, and yet they're usually successful. It's the second launch that I worry about, because you tend to get complacent all of a sudden and think it's going to happen that way every time. And I think that, though, that we have a team here that has been through this long enough and often enough that we aren't likely to do something that was stupid.
Yes, in the front row.
How much can technologies, this is quite a revolutionary project.
Well, actually, the whole concept of the vehicle is not to be a research and development program. And throughout our vehicle, and it comes some of the papers being delivered, and you'll recognize that. But in reality, in each area, we are using a proven technology. We are just adapting it to a reusable launch vehicle.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I mentioned that we have reached an agreement, and it was a very successful negotiation we had with the Titleist. It went very well. We have made a commitment as a part of our program here to provide opportunities for the Aboriginal people to be trained as a part of our operating crew and to participate with us in the operation. And it was extremely successful. We're very proud to be able to do that, and it will be an ongoing process.
Yes, sir. First question is the cost of the project. Second question is the first commercial client.
Well, the first client, we have a contract with Space Systems Loral, and we are having discussions with numerous other potential customers. We haven't determined which one will be the first one to fly yet. The first flights we actually have will be test flights. We'll have no customers on them. We'll be carrying additional instrumentation on the vehicle to get a better understanding of the vehicle and its flight characteristics. But as far as who the first customer is, we only have a contract with one. Who actually flies first is to be determined yet. The cost of the program is, if you include five vehicles and the facilities in Woomera, it is $776 million.
That's U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars.
So it's over a billion. Yes.
What sort of flight mix do you expect to fly compared to
Utah? Well, our flight operations, we're doing the test flights here, and we'll initially do all our commercial operations out of Woomera. And as this conference states, the Pacific Rim is a growing area of space operations, and we'll be supporting that as the market grows. And you also heard this morning from Dr. Clark that the projection is 1,200 or more satellites in the next 5 to 7 years. So as that market increases, then we will bring on our Nevada operations. And exactly what the mix is, it's too early to tell. Estimation being on what we see developing in the Pacific Rim, it probably will be close to 50-50.
Will there be a chance for you to fly the students on the payloads and on the space available bases in the same way that, say, Ariane Space does?
Yes, we're looking at a number of programs for universities and research groups. And we have a program with USRA that is more or less the sponsoring agency for these opportunities. And as they come in, how they fit and how we mix them in with the other operations, depending on what their requirements are and ours, it's a rather elaborate involvement to fit them in. But we do plan and hope to have an association with educational organizations.
Up at the back. How many engines have been delivered from Russia, and are there any more to be delivered from Russia?
How many Russian engines do we have, and how many more are we getting?
We have on hand 46 engines at Aerojet in Sacramento, and we're anticipating getting another 33 from Russia. And
how many in each stage? How many of each classification of engine?
How many do we use?
How many? If you could break it down into stage one and stage two.
They're roughly 3 33s to every 43, and that is actually the proportions that we have. 3/4 are 33s and 1/4 are 43s.
And I might add, with those engines, they're warrantied for 20 starts each. So that takes us into the 2010 timeframe based on the model we project to fly. Another advantage with Aerojet is that they have license to build follow-on engines in the U.S. So if we ever use up all the engines that are available from Russia, Aerojet can manufacture them in the U.S., and we can have a continuous supply of engines available to us.
Any other questions? Yes, sir, in the front.
Obviously, contract negotiations are secret, but do you have any payloads that you can announce any signed contracts?
Well, I said we have the signed contract with Loral, Space Systems Loral, for 10 launches. Those are the only ones that we're at liberty to announce at this point in time.
Any other questions? If not, we'll end this little briefing. But
I might say that we would be pleased to have some more launches signed up.
Yes.
Our plan is to fly 3 test flights and then go into commercial operations, just so we get a significant amount of data. That's currently what our plan is. So we expect to have 3 very successful flights and then go into the commercial operations.
Do you wish to add anything else, Dr. Miller or Dan?
Don?
Roger says we ought to invite you all to the launch next year, and we'll be pleased indeed to have you all there. Woomer is a little bit out. You better start getting the reservations early, though.
There have been a number of media requests to be in Woomer when the first rockets arrive. We are looking at how to do that. We did have a media contingent in Woomera for the groundbreaking ceremony, when it comes to the first launch, the answer is yes, there will be media facilities available. We haven't worked out the logistics of it yet because the number of inquiries keeps increasing almost by the day. However, having said that, if you want to be in Woomera, we need to know, and certainly stay in contact with me in Sydney, as we will be coordinating that aspect of the Kistler operation. If you don't have my details, there is a little media briefing paper here that provides those, and we will certainly put you into the system, into the loop, to keep you notified of anything further that relates to the project or the test flights.
I just wanted to say, I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but my challenge is that we turn this vehicle around in 9 days from landing to launch. So that is something that's new and very innovative, and that's my challenge to do that. And we'll be talking about that a little later in the conference about how we're going to accomplish that.
Yes.
School children are really interested in space. It's a great way of lifting their interest in science, technology, and mathematics. Does Kistler have anything on the books or anything in the works in the area of trying to get into the schools or get the word out to the education infrastructure here in Australia to try and raise that level of interest?
Not at the moment, but I've had several inquiries, and that's something we'll certainly look into from more of the college level, and we're certainly looking very strongly at hiring Australian engineers and folks for our launch crew. So there have been a lot of inquiries. We don't have a formal program in place at the moment.
But I'm sure Don would be glad to go around to any of the schools. And
it's very interesting.
Yeah, Don would love to do that. He hasn't got anything else on his plate.
I don't have anything else to do. It'll be a whole home activity in a short period of time.
We'll thank Dr. Miller for that when we get 1,500 school calling us today. But there is immense interest amongst school students at all levels, primary, tertiary, and it has stimulated. Just the announcement of Woomera Spaceport has stimulated intense interest. There is also high level of international media interest, and that comes from the various business sectors that are pushing for information. So it goes from school children right through to the end user, the people that will actually be putting payloads on. Deborah, who's sitting in the front row here, is responsible for that aspect of the business and will be speaking later in the week at this conference on Wednesday. I think you've got a birthday coming up in a few days' time as well. And Deborah has spent a couple of years in Moscow with the joint facility that existed there. She was there for 2 years. And if you need any information relating to payload, how Kistler goes about actually coordinating all of that, you have the expert here sitting in the front row. Any other questions? That's a giveaway, Deb, so they all know it's you. Any other questions at all? If not, feel free to speak with any other questions with the Kistler team that are here all week. Most are staying here at this hotel, and you'll find that they're very willing and accessible. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much indeed. And we're enjoying our visit here in Melbourne very much.